We are going to continue with the healing clinic, and it's been a clinic, put down a clinic. It's been really good, and we're established that it's God's will for us to be healed and to walk in health and healing. It's a part of redemption, God's redemption plan. It's part of the salvation package that we talk about, and so we're going to continue with this, and let me go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into the Word. Father in heaven, we just give you praise and thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is truth, your word is life, your word is revelation, your word is understanding. It's a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. And so we thank you for it tonight, Father. It renews our mind, brings health and healing to our bodies, feeds our spirits. So we just thank you. We're so grateful that you thought so much of us to put your heart in writing, love letters to us, Father, your manual for living in this world. So thank you, Father, tonight for boldness and utterance. And Lord, we thank you that for this healing to be established in all of us, your plan and your will for us concerning healing. May that be established in us, Father. May we walk in that. May we pass that on to our kids and our grandchildren, and that they may walk in it as well. So thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Growing up, raised a good Catholic boy, not always good, but most of the time, I raised Catholic and was Catholic schools, and went to Mass on Sunday and went to confession. Didn't tell all the things, but most of them, most of my sins, couldn't tell them everything. Doctors in my household were not trusted. My mom was likened to all kind of alternative kind of things, and we would go to the doctor. The doctor was needed, but not trusted. So you didn't really know where, you know, really where they, you know, if they were going to be a real help to you or not. My grandmother believed sickness was used by God to teach us to suffer like Christ. And I heard her talk about that many times. She was sick a lot. But I must admit, it was confusing that she went to the doctor. Didn't make any sense. If sickness is from God to teach us to suffer like Christ, why would you go to the doctor? Maybe it's just on the sickness that the medicine couldn't cure. Maybe those sicknesses were the ones that we were supposed to suffer with. I don't know. It was all confusing. I never could quite figure it out. But that's kind of my background. So I got saved at August of 1982. And the following summer, I went on a missions trip with Campus Crusade for Christ, which is known today as CRU, to a missions trip to San Diego for that summer. And I was traveling with a friend from Minnesota down to Texas. We had a car. We were going to drop off in Texas and then take that, get another car there, and then drive out to California. Well, for some strange part of the plan, I stopped at Oral Roberts University. He dropped me off there. I had no idea how I was going to get to Texas. That's just the way I lived at that time, you know, living an adventure of faith. So he dropped me off at ORU. There was a seminar that Oral Roberts was putting on. I wanted to go to that. Happened to fit that right at that time. So I stopped there, and they put us up in one of the dorm rooms, and my roommate was a man named Roy Trankenshue, which I don't have time to go into all that story, but Roy was a definite character and a tremendous influence on my life, and he had been a partner with Oral Roberts for many years and knew a lot about the ministry and took me around the campus and told me all about the history and all the different things. And then the last day, just before I left, he took me to the ORU bookstore and bought me two books. The first book was by Kenneth Hagin called The Name of Jesus. The second book was by E.W. Kenyon called Jesus the Healer. And and Jesus the Healer was the smaller of the two books, so I read that book. I read it on the way out to California. And it was just really eye-opening. I had never thought about these things or heard about these things. I've been listening to some TV ministers, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. But I had never really heard about that it's God's will for us to walk in health and healing, that that was part of the salvation package. And so by the time I got to California, I was with some good evangelical people, and I became right away the healing guru for the whole group. There's about 30 of us. I was the guy that, or no, they, out of California, I was the healing dude. Dude was the name. Radical, yeah. So I was the healing guy. And so much so, the first guy I prayed for, he was on his deathbed, died the next day. So that was a great start to my healing ministry. Very encouraging. But anyway, you got to start somewhere. I just started with the wrong guy. But anyway, really what happened is the people on the project, most of them, all of them didn't believe in healing. It was God's will for you to be healed. So they were going to test this. So they were looking for the hardest case they could find and have me go pray for them. And, of course, anyway, whatever. That wasn't a good place to start. But when I got back from California, I really got into God's Word, began to just read it even more than I had. And I was listening to one of the ministers. And how many know that who you listen to, their strengths, their big teachings, you kind of pick up on those things. And so healing became a part of my Christian walk pretty early. It became really a strong area for me. And it seemed, I don't know why we have those areas where we seem to can latch on too quickly. And healing was one of those areas for me. My mom said, based on observing me, you know, after I was saved, she said I had the gift of health. That's what she said. But I don't have the gift. There's no gift of health. Can't find that in the Bible. It was just, I just learned to walk in health and healing quickly after I was saved at 19. And part of the reason for that, I believe, was because some of the people that I was listening to talked a lot about the integrity of God's Word. And so if I saw things in God's Word, I believe this was, again, God, these books were written by the Holy Spirit for me. If I saw it in the Word and it was for me, I believed it, received it. And one of the verses that this minister I was listening to that was strong on the integrity of God's Word, these verses still ring to me strong to this day. Psalm 138. Psalm 138 in verse 1. Says this, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name. For your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. Now, I didn't know this then, but when they transcribed the word, you know, the Torah, the Hebrew folks, when they of course they did it by hand and they're putting it on scrolls. When they came to the name of God, they had to go clean and purify themselves and come back and write God's name. So great reverence for the name of God. I mean, that would be what happens if you have three or four of God's name in one sentence. I mean, it's going to be a long process. But they had a lot of names of God and a lot of reverence. But what does it say here? For you have magnified your word above all your name. And so years ago, that just really hit home to me about the importance of God's word. And that word magnified means promoted, become more important, make more powerful. So he's making the word, promotes it more than his name. It's more important than his name. It's more powerful than his name. And that word means his spoken word, but it also means his written word. So the word of God is is vital. And if you're going to walk in health and healing, which is part of our covenant with God, part of our salvation package, that you're going to have the word put in your heart, hidden in your heart. And you have to have the word concerning healing. And we've had a lot of scriptures, some great scriptures, and there's others. If you need a listing of scriptures, we'll get it for you. But to take those scriptures and get them off of your iPad or iPhone or the Bible and get them into your heart, get them into your mind, wash your mind. Because you're probably like me. You didn't grow up with, you know, that healing is God's will. And sickness and diseases, you know, in my household was just a part of life. And God didn't, you know, and as far as, again, I was in church, but God didn't seem to care about my health. So there's a lot of mindsets and a lot of things that we learned in our households and from this world system that we have to take the word on purpose and wash all that out. And some things are really entrenched. And healing may be one of those areas for you, but the key, the start, is getting the word and getting understanding. I like Psalms 107, verse 19. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Anybody have any trouble tonight? And he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent his word and healed them. Correlation between the word and healing. I like what it says in the Message version. Verse 19, then you called out to God in your desperate condition, and he got you out in the nick of time. He spoke the word that healed you, that pulled you back from the brink of death. So thank God for his marvelous love, for his miracle mercy to the children he loves. Sent his word. Keep that in mind. So if you're dealing with sickness and disease, get the word. God's got it. It's already available for you. Get it and send it to your situation. Send it to whatever you're dealing with. Let's look over in Psalms 112. Psalm 112 is about the righteous man. So it fits for all of us because we're righteous. We've been made righteous in Christ. So this psalm's talking about us. It's one of my, you know, top 10 psalms. Maybe top 20. I got a lot of psalms I like, but I like Psalm 112. I'm going to read the whole thing to you because you need it. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house that are part of our covenant. And his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be an everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. The verse I want to look at is verse 8. It says, his heart is established. And we need to have our hearts established on God's word. This word established means to lean on. It means to support you. It means to sustain you. It means to refresh. And it means to revive. So established on the word, that's something you can trust in. It's going to hold you up, sustain you, refresh you, and revive you. Now, what are you established in? All of us are established in certain things. I'm established in accounting. I know QuickBooks, like some people know social media or their favorite program, maybe whatever your game is that you play that you know so well. And, you know, I know the accounting software. And I know debit and credits, and I know how to read balance sheets and profit and loss statements and, you know, stock reports and all these different kind of things. Why? Because, well, first of all, I've had training. I've had study, a lot of hours of study, a lot of accounting. Got a master's in business. Then I worked in the accounting for 6 years. So I'm established in accounting. Now, someone else looks at accounting, not Arlene, of course, but others, maybe Janice, I don't know, maybe Janice knows more than, but I mean, others, they're not established in it. They look at it, it's all Greek, it's all foreign, and it makes no sense. It's magic. They do magic in that QuickBooks. Now, let's get over to, and I don't see Courtney, she's not here, but she was here just a minute ago. Courtney is good in cooking. She's established. And, you know, I've had some of her different items, and, you know, when she brings something to church and I eat some of it, it's like magic to me. How in the world did you do that? This is magic. You ever seen someone work on a car, those car engines? I mean, I can do some basic things, put in oil, check some of the fluids, I can check the tires, and, you know, I, of course, gasoline. I can do that, but there's just not a whole lot. When I'm looking at that engine, I mean, it's just a big mystery. And then someone else, though, they look at it, who's established in it. Again, it's like, isn't it like magic? It's not. I mean, and that's what we're talking about, being established in God's Word, being established in healing. And it's going to take time. It's going to take some washing of your mind. It's going to have to get some of that root of sickness and disease that's been put in you. Maybe you were established in that. Some people are established in sickness. They pet that and all the different things, and they just don't feel comfortable without sickness. But we can be established and should be established. It's pretty important in healing. What did it say in 3 John? The Apostle John said, "Beloved, I pray above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." He wants you to be doing well financially, prosperous in your life, your body to be healthy. But isn't it interesting? Even as your soul prospers. There's the correlation between these things and prosperity of your mind. But being established, and you learn by, you know, I learned accounting by the book work and all the homework assignments, but then I learned by doing it, the practical things. And it's the same thing here. Now let's go over and look at Romans chapter 4. And let's read about Abraham. Romans 4, verse 1. "What shall we say? That Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." I have a commentary series by William Barclay that I got as a young pastor, and, you know, I didn't really know what I was doing, but it just happened to be the right set because I've used it all these years. I got a set of the New Testament that he has and loved it. He's a Greek scholar and really, really good stuff. And so I was kind of reading his things about Romans 4. And here's some of the comments that he made. He said Paul in Romans was talking to the Jews, trying to convince the Jews the whole thing about law versus grace. And so he was seeking to prove that what makes a man right with God is not performance of works that the law lays down, but the simple trust of complete yieldedness, which takes God at his word and believes that he still loves us even when we have done nothing to deserve that love. So that the Jews believed favor came from earning it. They believed that favor from God, grace from God, came from keeping the law, from a moral code. Paul's talking about that this grace and healing would be included in that does not come from performance. It does not come from keeping the law. It comes from believing God. It comes from faith, by faith. And what, and we all, you know, been taught here about faith. I mean, faith basically trusting God, relying on God, trusting his word. He made a promise to us and we believe it. And we act accordingly, that like what he said to us is true. Faith is believing, you know, we talk about Romans 10 about salvation. It's believing his word, believing in your heart, and confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. So we say this, that faith is found in two places, in your heart, in your believing, and in your speaking. And Abraham believed God. There was no law when he was there. So, I mean, isn't it amazing? He took God at his word, didn't argue with him, I couldn't tell if there's any hesitation on his part. He said, get up and leave, you know, leave your family, leave your friends, leave your livelihood. And he left his home, not even knowing where he was going. And so he believed the promise. He believed that if he'd follow God, he'd be the father of many nations. He believed that there'd be an inheritance. What did he do? He took God at his word and acted accordingly, despite all circumstances, really no knowledge in this natural realm, but taking God at his word. Let's look at, keep on going, down to verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. All of Romans 4 is talking about Abraham. And again, contrasting faith versus the works of the law. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God.